morning. Today is Monday, August the 20th. Joining us this morning from Redwood Capital Bank is not the bank dude. It's daughter of bank dude.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, Megan Broadstock and Mark Chatton. It's going to be a little bit different program this morning as we're going to be talking about ways to save money.
Yes.
And pain.
Not to lose.
And energy and all that kind of stuff. So before we get there, we're going to get our phrase out of the way. Why do they say that? Why do children say, I bags this, meaning that they get it? Any idea?
I have no idea.
So they bags or bagged it?
Bags.
Like, I bagged that.
B-A-G-S.
Okay. Bags that. Because I was thinking bag might be like hunting. When you bag something, you got it.
All right. Well, you're close enough. Did you say, that's what I'm, okay. The word comes from poaching.
Yeah.
Since whatever a poacher managed to steal would be quickly slipped into his bag, he would literally bag it.
I'm impressed that you knew that.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known how it came from for hunting, but.
Oh. So, with this concept of fraud or being silly, to me, fraud is something that's overt. Being ignorant is not necessarily. When we consider the phrase fraudulent, What are we talking about?
Well, I think it's something that's being done without your knowledge or permission. I think it's changed its connotation in the digital age, for sure, especially when you look at bank and money fraud. I mean, it used to be like in that movie, Catch Me If You Can, somebody's writing bad checks and passing them around that way.
Well, we used to have news stories of, you know, businesses that would change their checking accounts and they would just throw the old checks
in the trash in the alley.
Don't
some
do that.
Goofball would come through even though it was on a closed account and they'd start writing checks all over
right.
the place.
Exactly.
I would imagine if somebody writes checks now in person, they kind of get a funny look anyway because there's so little of that going on.
Checks, yeah.
I mean, we still see a lot of checks, but there's a lot of procedures in place for, you know, if you close the account and you have checks. There's ways the bank can deal with that. But the kind of fraud we're dealing with now is so sophisticated. It's over the top. And part of it is knowledge is power. We want to educate the public and make them knowledgeable about how to avoid this stuff because it has gotten so sophisticated. And there are some simple steps that are easier, and there are some more sophisticated, but we really believe knowledge is power, and we're just trying to get the word out to the community.
So because of the internet and all its conveniences that it provides, what are some of the things that if folks are unfamiliar, right? For example, Ange does the online banking and all that stuff. I couldn't figure out how to get there if my life depended on it. And even then, I might not be as motivated as as a lot of folks. I just don't. I still have that concern, mm-hmm. that fear that internet, somebody, you know, if I do something like I tend to do, all of a sudden everybody has all my information. What? Can someone just make a simple mistake and all of a sudden...
Sure.
The door is open, and here come the thundering herds.
Sure. Do you use a debit card or a credit card?
I started in the last year and a half to use a debit card. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Even though you're not online, you're using that card. That number is a potential link to fraud as far as if somebody gets that number. They don't even need your card. They can use their number, make a purchase online, make a purchase on the phone, things like that.
Now, you're saying the number that's on the card, not the four-digit number.
On the back?
No, the one that you...
Oh, your PIN
number.
That's mostly for an ATM. Yeah, that's true. That's mostly for an ATM or a point of sale. But if you order something on the phone, or you order something online, which sounds like you don't do, but on the phone, they ask you, what's your credit card number? What's your debit card number? And you give it to them. Sometimes they'll ask for that three digits on the back.
Right, the security thing on the back.
But if I compromise your card, I'm a not honest food vendor or something like that, and you give me your card to make a purchase, and I look at it and write it down. That allows me to make purchases on your behalf without having to know your PIN.
So when you make a purchase online, other than you make the overture, you go to them, mm-hmm. what other securities are in play? or what are things we can do to protect and it's a regular one. Yeah. If you're going to for me the baseball card place, and they know me back and forth. And I have full confidence. But if I don't have full confidence,
right.
What do you do to ensure that you're being played with straight?
Use cash.
Well, that's tough if they're in Binghamton, New York.
No, I know. Yeah. You make the purchase, and just like with a lot of the things we're going to be talking about, is you monitor that card, that credit card, that debit card, so that you have to have some way of knowing that that card is being used properly by you. So
more than the end of the month statement?
Yeah, more than the end, because that's 30, 45 days later by the time you've looked at it, and they could have already drained your account by then. There's a great way. There's a new service that we're doing. It's called Secure Lock Equip, and it monitors. It looks at your account, and you can set things on there. You can set alerts. So tell me whenever, anytime anybody uses the card, including myself, at an ATM, at a point of sale, online, on the phone, and it'll send you an email alert or a text message. Don't let that card be used at an ATM in Pittsburgh, because I'm not in Pittsburgh. I'm in California. So if somebody tries to use that number back east somewhere else, it doesn't allow it. Or at a minimum, it alerts you to the fact so that you can call the bank, the credit card company, and say, hey, that wasn't me.
Could you set it up, Mark, if you don't use ATMs?
Sure.
Boom, that's
Turn it off for ATMs. Yep.
So that then would restrict it or prohibit its use?
Prohibit it.
So you can do absolutes with this stuff,
yep,
too. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this very morning with Mark Chadden and Megan Broadstock from Redwood Capital. I almost said fraud division. How about prod?
We're the fraud control this month.
Yeah,
fraud prevention.
Fraud squad is how we've been putting it.
Okay. So what are some of the really easy things that we can do to make it tough, or the really the things that those who are so inclined see as low-hanging fruit to be able to take advantage of some of us who are less than knowledgeable about some of the things that we should do? What are the easy things we can do?
The easiest thing I would say as a business owner, check your bank statements. A lot of business owners will just hand off their bank statements to an employee, to their bookkeeper, to whoever handles that in their office, and they don't actually look at it, so they don't see what's going on. Look at your bank statement. Make sure you know what your bookkeepers and accountants are doing. At minimum, take the bank statement before you give it to them and crumple it up and pour some coffee on it and make it look like you've looked at it so they think you're holding them accountable. Just something as simple as that. We've seen people who don't do that. It just is such an obvious thing that you should be doing.
No, what I had been told is owner signs checks.
Yeah.
Okay. That clarifies a whole bunch of it. Or on the flip side, if you get your bookkeeper, then you get all of the statements.
What if your bookkeeper is forging your signature and you're not looking at the checks that are clearing?
Then by looking at the statements.
Yeah, you got to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or going online weekly, whatever. I know we have customers who do it daily, which is smart. You know, mm-hmm. It's good. You're going to catch things quicker.
They must have a larger organization than a lot of us have.
Or less other things to do.
Yeah, like work.
That's work.
So I
got a big one. Oh.
In situations like that, where there is fraud being committed, how prevalent is it? Because nobody ever... it seems. Yeah. You know, I would love to have a program or spotlight or something like that where businesses would say, I got embezzled by blank amount by an employee. Here's what I was doing wrong. Here's what we've done to change it. Mm-hmm. But that means you have to admit mm-hmm. that you got taken for a ride. And a lot of people, I guess there's a perception that there's a character flaw. Mm-hmm. And doing hopefully trusting people isn't a character flaw. But if we had a number of different folks saying, okay, this happens. It's a regular thing. Mm-hmm. But let's make it tougher. Let's make it tougher as a community. And we just start narrowing that gap so that either somebody has to get more creative or there's just less of it being done.
Right. Fraud has been really prevalent. We've seen, historically, I've been at the bank for 12 years. We've seen fraud throughout that entire time. Fraud's not a new thing, but it is getting more sophisticated. It is definitely increased. I mean, it used to be that we saw one fraud case a month. Now we're seeing, one or two a day.
It's prevalent?
It's very prevalent. And a lot of people don't want to take the precautions that they need to take to protect themselves until it's too late.
Now, this is business as well as personal?
Correct. Yeah. And a lot of times, they do get a little bit embarrassed and they don't want to talk about it. And so we take precautions to help them as best that we can and get them through it because it is such a hard situation. There is so much that you have to do once you've, figured out something's gone wrong. And
now, there are some card companies that if there's something weird, I guess, is defined as non-normal. Not weird like I am weird. But if there's a purchase out of the area for something that hasn't been purchased before, over a certain amount, mm-hmm. Things of that nature, boom, that triggers at their end, because obviously they're trying to protect themselves and their customers also. Is that the kind of thing that we can anticipate everybody doing in the future, or is this still more of the card owner themselves or the bank account owner themselves needing to take full and total responsibility?
We have a system in place in the bank that will alert you if our card system sees something that's either out of your normal jurisdiction of transactions or just something that's odd, they will alert you. So I think it's a two-way thing. We want to alert, but we also need people to be mindful and want to be helped as well.
Sure. Mark, you had another simple thing.
Passwords. I mean, for those of people who use them, if you're not going online and all that, you may not have any. But a PIN, you've got a PIN for your ATM. But passwords, I mean, there's so many things about passwords. There's keeping them private, keeping it to yourself. Don't give somebody your password. You're talking about, sharing jobs and, you need to do this today. Here's my login information. Go ahead and get on the computer and do this for me. Somebody's got your password now. They can do anything they want as you. And the computer can't tell the difference unless you're using multi-factor authentication, but that gets into a different realm. But keep your password to yourself, keep it private, and keep it, I was going to say keep it complex, don't make it real simple. But complex now isn't the norm or the best way to do it now. It used to be make your password so that nobody knows what it means. Just use some weird letters and characters, but then you can't remember it. So, and they'd say, at least 8 characters. Well, now it's been proven that it's not as much the complexity as it is the length. Make it 15, 20 characters. Don't worry about the special characters. Just make it something long. So a title of your favorite book, a song, lyrics of a song, something like that. The computer doesn't care about all those at symbols and hashtags. Length is what makes it more complex.
Good to have the same one consistently or a whole bunch of different ones?
A whole bunch of different ones. Yeah.
Okay, now we get into memory issues. It's 8:30.
I got it.
All right.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Megan Broadstock and Mark Chatton from Redwood Capital Bank. We're talking a little bit about fraud prevention, not doing.
Preventing.
Yes. Now, Mark, you had said before the break that there were a couple of things you can do. Again, simple, easy things. One you said was a longer password. Mm-hmm. And then trying to remember where your passwords are because you don't want to use the same one repeatedly.
Right, right. And the reason for not using the same one repeatedly is more because if somebody gets it, then they can get into any of your accounts or any of your places you go. So a long password. But what you can use to manage those passwords so you don't have to remember them necessarily is to use a password manager, some program on your phone, on your computer, that keeps all your passwords for all your different access, and it's locked by one single master password. So that's the only one you have to truly remember, theoretically.
Versus writing them down. It's, I would think, you know, if I had enough to worry about, I could write it down and put it in somewhere at home.
Right.
Okay, fine. You know, it might not be the most convenient thing, but I guess it's one of the joys of living three minutes away.
Right.
You know, if I absolutely positively had to have it, it's somewhere where I could go, you know, maybe I suck it up for the day.
Yeah.
Big deal. No big deal. Mm-hmm. But to have now another program that's reliant on getting it done, it just kind of seems like it's a house of cards. Now, is that just a perspective?
It is. I mean, there's probably some legitimacy to that. You know, think about it. If it's in some repository, a digital repository somewhere online, and that company gets hacked and somebody gets access to all that. Now, it should be, if you're using a credible.
too much bank.
Too much bank. source, they're going to have it all encrypted, and even if somebody did break in, they wouldn't get it. But at least it's locked away there where no one else can have access to it except to you, wherever you want, wherever you have your smartphone, wherever you have your computer. Whereas locked in your desk or in a safe, because you're not going to just leave it in your desk drawer where anybody could open it and get access to all your passwords. A little more hassle, like you said. But maybe for you that's okay because now, hey, I don't have to work today. I'm going to go mow the lawn.
Now, what about iCloud? You know, I have, and I suppose this is another opportunity for somebody to get access. I personally am extraordinarily uncomfortable with the iCloud concept. I would rather have it in my machine, be able to shut my machine down, take it home with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe I have a flash stick as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But not having the document itself that I can get access to if I lose connection to the internet just is unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an opportunity for fraud if you do use, you park your stuff outside your computer?
Again, yeah, there is, but you can take precautions, or the company that you're doing this with, like an iCloud, I think they have their products called iChain or something where they can
had to bring Aretha in today, huh?
Chain of. Yeah. Been listening to a lot of that this weekend.
I would imagine you and lots of others.
But I lost my chain of thought.
Yeah. Okay.
Train of thought. Let's talk about iChain.
iCloud and iChain.
There's a source of a repository that could get hacked, but it's also, I mean, and this is the balance, convenience. I was thinking when you were talking about iCloud, you know, I was just on a trip and I was taking pictures from my iPhone and for the day, and I went home on my computer or on my iPad, and there's those same pictures on that other device because they get saved to the cloud. And now I have access to them from
Instead of having to email it to yourself.
Exactly. Or print it out. You know, remember those days, you know, or wait, go to Thrifty's and get it printed, you know.
Yeah. Okay. KINS, apparently we're going to have a little discussion during the commercial break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 840.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 845. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Megan Broadstock and Mark Chatton from Redwood Capital. Some of the quick, without the details, or I'm sure some of these things don't require an awful lot of details, basic things we can do to harden the target, I believe, is what Arnie Millsap used to say about crime and crime prevention. How do we harden the target?
I'll go through a couple of them real quick. One is dual control. So if you're a business and you send wires online, if you do ACH payroll transactions, you can set up dual control so someone can set up those transactions and someone else has to go in and review them and approve them to send. So a lot of people are falling victim to scam invoices, and they're sending ACH transactions out that are actually fraudulent, and they're not doing it on purpose. But having someone check those is great. Mark talked a little bit about e-alerts and SecureLock Equip for your debit card, so you're alerted to transactions. Social engineering awareness, just be aware of emails coming through. We see a lot of what we call phishing. So emails that are from someone pretending to be somebody else asking you to give information or click a link that could install a virus on your computer. So just be aware of the emails coming through. If you're not,
some of those are really stupid simple. I mean, even I.
Yeah.
Bob, who's Bob? And then it's a one thing, and it makes no sense at all. It's like, yeah, right. I'm not that stupid.
People click the links all the time.
Just
or they give information, you know, confidential stuff they're not supposed to. Too trusting. So don't trust your email.
Yeah. Always use a phone?
Well, there's something to be said for that. You know that, hey, you know, this email looks like it's from Brian, but is it? Well, if you told me, hey, I'm sending you an email that's asking for your bank login, credentials, at least I know you're the one who's asking for it. But if I didn't know you were sending this, pick up the phone and say, hey, Brian, did you send me that email that's asking for that? And you go, yeah, I did. Okay, now at least I know the source is accurate. Now where I'm going, that's still...
Now you can delete with passion.
Do I trust the source?
Fair enough. It's okay, just paying attention to what you're doing instead of getting into the rote of opening all emails.
And we at the bank, too, our IT department does a great job if they frequently test us with phishing emails. So Dave or Mark will send an email out to all the staff requesting certain information in an email, and they're testing the staff to see who will actually click that link. And then they can do more training on that to help the staff be more aware and to trust,
So why not do that to the customer base?
Ooh.
Just size?
Testing. Well, and then... all reaching out to everybody to let them know that was a test, or here's what you do about it. We can do these campaigns now to educate people, but if we were to send out a test to the masses, that
5%.
Would be a little,
what do we do when they fail?
Well, it's not as much the numbers, because with electronics, I could do 20,000 people with a click of a button. It's more of what do you do about it, and so that I get alert that 5% of people clicked on it. Okay, now what?
It would be interesting, I think, just from a marketing perspective, how many responded?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, one, how many do you have? Right. How many responded? And then when you shoot them back and say, you shouldn't have because of XYZ, how many followed up when you said, why did you click on it and give them 3 or 4 options, and then start to figure out, okay, how do we work that thing through?
That's That's an interesting concept. You don't, in the world of fraud and prevention and security, which I'm heavily in, you don't hear much about testing your customer base. It's more of your internal staff.
See, another weird idea from this show.
From this show.
I think people would be disappointed if I didn't have a couple of those for you.
We'll file that in the weird box.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, not the spam, the weird. Megan, what else was in there? Is there a couple of other things that we should consider?
And the 10th tip that we have for Fraud Prevention Month is having a top-down security culture. So in your business, in your home, make sure everybody's aware of fraud, how prevalent it is. Make sure everyone from the CEO to the bottom, everybody is on board with creating a security culture within your business. So it's a state of mind that everybody's on the defensive and aware.
Pay attention to what you're doing.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that's a novel concept for some.
and getting the top, the leadership, to support the changes that need to be made, whether it be taking classes on awareness, implementing a new software that helps protect us. If you got it coming from the top down, it's a lot easier to get everybody else.
Using the iCloud, apparently. Thank you, sir.
If people listen to the top, that's the
other. I think we're done here. And more questions, they can give you guys a buzz at the shop?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thanks. We'll go online to our website. That's a big
one. Either way. See everybody tomorrow. We'll